Let's take our Bible again tonight and go to the book of Psalms 133. We will start here again in dealing with unity. You can go ahead and stand tonight. Amen. Tonight, I preached this morning, and I hope tonight's message will make a little more sense of why I preached the way I did this morning. As we look at this, and we're going to look at when the people get against the pastor. Now, hopefully in these series of messages, I'm going to deal next week, if the Lord be my helper with it, on the position of the church member and when the preacher gets against them. But then at the end of it, I'll really show us what we all need to do is to work in unity and what can be accomplished. And just to give you a little example, if you go over to the book of Acts chapter 12, I believe it is, when the early church got over there and they prayed together, they prayed all night together, they seen God move. That's what got Peter out of prison. And there's no telling what could happen if our church works together. I'm just telling you tonight, there's no telling what God could do with us in the corner of McMinn County over here, trying to do what we're supposed to do for Him and just being unified together around Him. There's no telling what God can do. Amen. But tonight I want to look. Psalms chapter 133. If you happen to be here, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. I want you to pray for your preacher tonight. I've got a bad left knee for some reason. I don't know what I've done to it. I don't know if Kelly's kicked me in the middle of the night or what. But it's hurting. And I've been praying about that thing. And you pray the Lord will help my knee tonight. Luckily, I do have a doctor's appointment tomorrow. She said, that's a good thing. You can go see him. So they'll probably x-ray it and find a big old heel print in there or something. Amen. But Psalms 133, look in verse 1. And the Bible says, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments. As the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded a blessing, even life forevermore. You can be seated tonight. Lord, would you help us while we preach tonight? And might you have the glory, save somebody that's lost, and help us to find in your word what you'd have us to. Open ears and hearts tonight, and please touch me for this in Jesus' name. Amen. As I begin to look at this message and begin to think about this and dwelling in unity, I begin to think about Moses and the children of Israel. If there was anybody that ever had people against him, it was Moses. I mean, you can go back and you can look in the Old Testament. By the way, we'll go back there and we'll preach primarily out of the book of Numbers chapter 12 and Numbers 16 tonight. But you can go back and you can look in the book of Exodus chapter 2 and you'll find that the children of Israel are in bondage and they cry out for God to deliver them. In Exodus chapter 2 and verse 23, and it came to pass in the process of time that the king of Egypt died and the children of Israel sighed by reason of bondage, of the bondage, and they cried and their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage, and God heard their groaning. And God remembered his covenant with Abraham and with Isaac and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel and God had respect unto them. And they cried out because of their bondage. Ain't you glad that you cried out one day because of the bondage that sin had you in? And boy, you cried out and God come by and miraculously saved you where you were and made you a fit subject and that for his family, for the church and for heaven. And boy, I thank God for that tonight. You find in Exodus chapter 3 and Exodus 4, God calls Moses and that to deliver the children of Israel. And we all know the story. We know what happens. Moses, he was just a man. He didn't think he could go do it. He gave God every excuse. And finally, God got mad at him. I mean, he really did. said, he got mad at him over there and even said, who was it that made your mouth? Who made the dumb and the deaf and saying, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? And finally he just said, well, here comes Aaron, and he can talk for you. And they finally went down there and they tried to get Pharaoh to turn the children of Israel loose, and they wouldn't do that. So by the time we get to Exodus chapter 12, we find the story of the Passover, and I know all the plagues that led up to that time, and we have the story of the Passover, and God brings them out with a high and mighty hand out of the nation of Egypt. And so in Exodus chapter 14, we get over to the place and that of the Red Sea. The Egyptian army is behind them, and the Red Sea is in front of them. But you know what we get to right here as they leave in Exodus chapter 14. The Bible said, the Lord spake unto Moses, and spake unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Pahaharoth, between Migdal and the sea, over against Baal-Zephon. Before ye shall encamp, before it ye shall encamp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land. The wilderness has shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart that he will follow after them. And I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people. And they said, why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? And so they wanted to know why they had done what they done. We turned loose all our help is what we've done, and all our slaves. And so they lied out after them, and they're pursuing and that after the children of Israel. And the Bible said in verse 10, and when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord, and they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, thou hast taken us away to die in the wilderness. Wherefore hast thou dealt with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. That's not what Exodus chapter 2 said. Right? Said they cried out because of their bondage and they wanted to be free. But yet when they come up on hard times, when they come up with something that is impossible, that they cannot get through, then they turn to Moses, the man that delivered them, the man that God chose to deliver them, the man that God chose to lead them, and they cry against him. Said, you brought us out here and that to die. It was Moses' fault. And we know the story. God parted the Red Sea. In Exodus chapter 15, after they sing Moses' song and they praise the Lord, they just go a little bit further and they come to the place that is called Marah, which means bitter, and there's just bitter water there. And the Bible said, and they murmur against Moses. Exodus chapter 16, after they get past the place of bitter water that God made sweet, and then they get over there and they encamp in that to Elam, where there were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees, and they encamp there. But by the time in the next chapter, the Bible said in verse 2, and the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, would to God that we died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots and when we did eat bread to the full, for ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Again, it's Moses' fault. They wanted to be delivered. They're headed to the promised land. And every little bit of problem that they face, it's Moses' fault. Exodus chapter 17, they're thirsty again. There's no water. They murmur. Moses takes his rod. He strikes the rock. And out of the rock flows a river and that of water. You get to Exodus. As a matter of fact, in Exodus chapter 16, I forgot to tell you this. I believe it is in Exodus chapter 16 that God gives a manna there too, by the way. Exodus chapter 17, he gives them water from the rock. Exodus chapter 32, Moses is up on the mountain over there receiving the law. And I'm getting somewhere. Stay with me. And he's getting the law, and they're down here and made a golden calf, and they're worshiping that thing. I believe Moses is probably about to pull his hair out right now. You reckon? Numbers chapter 11. The manna that they wanted to eat, they despised the manna, so God gives them so much quail that it runs out of their nostrils, the Bible says. Numbers chapter 12, take your Bible there, and here's where we're going to start at tonight. And I'm preaching on when the people gets against the pastor. Numbers chapter 12, you find a time when Aaron and Miriam, or Miriam and Aaron, I guess you'd say, get against Moses. And this is his family. See, you realize that Aaron is Moses' brother and Miriam is his sister. Aaron is the high priest. And the Bible says even about Miriam that she is a prophetess. And by the way, when we get to Numbers 13 and 14, which I won't read tonight, but those are when the 12 spies go out to spy the land of Canaan and come back and says that they can't go. And so they don't go. And God tells them over there, okay, that's fine. 40 days over there spying it out, so 40 years in the wilderness. And by the time we get to Numbers chapter 16, Korah and his men raise up against Moses. Well, look in chapter 12 tonight. Look in verse 1. And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. Reckon Moses wrote that about himself. I mean, we're in the book of Moses right here. Genesis through Deuteronomy, Moses wrote, by the way. I think he wrote that, and I think God inspired him to do it. And the Lord spake suddenly. Now, look right here, and the Lord heard it, verse 4. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses, and unto Aaron, and unto Miriam, come out ye three unto the tabernacle of the congregation. And they three came out. And the Lord came down in a pillar of cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. And he said, hear now my words, if there be a prophet among you, I the Lord will make myself known unto him in a vision and will speak unto him in a dream. He said, look, if there's a prophet over here, then I'm going to speak to him in a vision and in a dream. That's how I'm going to deal with a prophet. But look in verse 7. He said, but my servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. He said, look, Moses is going to see me, and Moses is going to hear me, and I'm going to talk to him just like I talk with my mouth. That's how I'm talking to Moses. And then the Bible says, wherefore then ye were not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? He said, Moses, or he said, Aaron, he said, Miriam, he said, I talk to Moses like a friend. He said, I pull him up and talk to him face to face. You know, when Moses went up there to get the law, didn't his face shine when he come back down because he'd been around the glory of God? He'd been in the presence of God. Listen, that's something Aaron and Miriam hadn't seen. That's something they hadn't experienced. They hadn't been around that. But listen, Moses had. You say, why'd God choose Moses? Ain't got a clue. I don't know how God or why God chose Moses, but nonetheless, he did. Why did God choose to put me here? I don't know, but nonetheless, I believe that he did. Amen. I mean, there's a reason that I'm the pastor here. Listen, and the Bible said the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. And the cloud departed from off the tabernacle, and behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. Now watch this right here. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. And Aaron said unto Moses, alas, my Lord, I beseech thee, lay not the sin upon us, wherein we have done foolishly, and wherein we have sinned. Let her not be as one dead, of whom the flesh is half consumed, when he cometh out of his mother's womb. And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, heal her now, O God, I beseech thee. What's happened? I want you to look Now, let me deal with this. Look right here what happens. You know what takes place right here? They have sinned. He said they have sinned. That's what Aaron said. She's become leprous. And by the way, why do you reckon God just struck Miriam with leprosy and not Aaron? You ever wonder about that? You ever think about that? When I read that, I thought about that. I almost think it might have been Miriam who brought this whole thing up. It might have been Miriam who started this whole thing. And Miriam and Aaron. Notice it didn't say in Aaron and Miriam in verse 1. It said in Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman. I don't know if she was stirring things up with Aaron, but they were mad at Moses because of who he married. I never found out where God got upset with who he married. There's a lot of argument in that right there, but I never find out where God got upset, so I don't know what they're upset for. But I do know this, that the Bible said in verse 2 that the Lord heard it. Now I want you to look first. Now notice what he done. He struck her with leprosy. I want you to notice the mentality of these people right here, of Aaron and Miriam. Notice their mentality. They wanted to elevate themselves. What did they say right here? They said, "Hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Has he not spoken also by us?" Miriam was a prophetess. Do you know, if you go back to Exodus chapter 15, you'll find out that it calls her a prophetess. And we do know that God used Aaron and that for Moses' mouthpiece. We know that. We understand that. We realize that. But they wasn't nothing like Moses was. Listen, it was a place that they were trying to elevate themselves into that they didn't belong. And it was about to get them in trouble. As a matter of fact, it did get them in trouble. They wanted to put themselves on the same plane that Moses was. And God was using Moses to deliver the children of Israel. They had murmured against him and murmured against him. And now his own family, the people that should love him the most, that was his own kin, they were against him. They turned against him. I mean, they wanted to basically just kind of push him out of the way or push him to the side, or they all three be equal. But you know what's funny right here? The Bible said that the Lord heard it. I was going to deal with these separate, but I was going to deal with them together. I'm going to deal with them separate tonight. Their mentality was, is they wanted to elevate themselves to where Moses was. You know, God let them know very quick in their actions as they complained about what Moses was doing. You notice they had to conspire right here with each other. You know what a conspiracy is, don't you? That's when two or more get together and make a plan. That's a conspiracy, you know. And that's what him and what Aaron and Miriam is doing here tonight. They're trying in that to be against Moses. They are against Moses. And they said that, "Hath he not spoken by us?" I'm going to tell you something tonight. I want you to understand this with all my heart. I'm not better than you are. But the position that I'm in tonight is different from the position that you're in tonight. I mean, I'm just being honest tonight. I'm trying my very best to preach this message as humble as I can and with a spirit of humility tonight. And I'm trying not to say something stupid, if I can say that tonight, and dumb. But I want you to understand this tonight. My position is different than yours. You remember I told you this morning God sent me down here to lead this church. I've probably always done it right, but I've strived to do it. Moses didn't, he messed it up sometimes, but for the most part, Moses always got it right. But don't you notice their mentality was, is that they were going to raise themselves up against Moses, and their action was, is that they looked at themselves and they said, "Hey, are we not just like Moses is? He no different than we are, and we ain't no different than he is. He no better than us. I ain't no better than you. It's just God chose me and put me where I am, you see." Now, let me park right here and say to the preachers in here tonight, I'm going to tell you, if you need to understand, God's got you in a place where people do look at you. You tell people you're a preacher, they are going to start watching you. It's like telling folks you're a deacon at a church, you know. They're going to start watching you. You tell people that you're a Christian, they're going to start watching you. You start telling them, hey, I go to church over here, and they're going to start watching you. We don't elevate ourselves. The position, believe it or not, the position is a place of servitude sometimes. It should be a place of humility. God is the one that gets to do the lifting up when we mind God and do what God wants us to do tonight. And that's true with any Christian's life tonight. When we find humility, what was it that He giveth grace unto the humble? And He said if we would abase ourselves, then He would lift us up, you see. But notice right here that when we got to Aaron and Miriam, and again, I think Miriam has been winding this thing up. You better be careful who you get around. And you better be careful who you listen to. So you see God's response. Now I want you to notice something right here that jumped out at me here in verse 2. When they said what they said, hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? To the children of Israel He has, yes. I can go ahead and answer that. And she said, hath He not spoken also by us? I understand that she's a prophetess. I understand that Aaron is the great high priest, or the high priest, excuse me. Lord Jesus is a great high priest. And said, and the Lord, now notice what your Bible said, and the Lord heard it. They thought they were saying this stuff in secret, but the Lord heard it. Can I tell you tonight, no matter what's in your heart, and no matter what you murmur in your heart, the Lord always hears it. The Lord always sees it. The Lord always knows what's going on. He knows what's in the heart tonight. And so when all this happens and the Lord hears it, the Bible said, and the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and unto Miriam. You know what? As soon as God heard it, as soon as they said it, as soon as they thought it, God spoke right then. Just like that. He was not going to let them get away without some correction. And He began to tell them, look, if there's a prophet, here's God's response. If there's a prophet, then I'll speak to him in dreams. But with Moses, I speak to mouth to mouth. And God, He departed right there. And well, look in verse 9. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them. And He departed. God was angry with them. God was angry with what they said about Moses and what they had on their mind and what drove them in that direction. God got angry about that thing. Can I tell you when a church member gets against a pastor that is doing his job? Now I'm talking about doing his job. If I ain't doing my job, then you need to say something. If I'm doing my job, then leave me alone and let me do my job. Help me, pray for me, encourage me, but don't be against me. And Moses is trying to get them into the promised land. We've not got over here yet to where they wouldn't go. See, it's not that they've got there. The next chapter they wouldn't go, but they've not got there yet. Moses is still trying to get them there. Moses is trying to get them to the place where God wants them to be. You know, if I'm doing my job, I ought to be trying to do my best to get you to the place where you need to be. Don't we all need preaching? Amen. Man, life, I'm telling you, this past week, I needed that so much. My ass needed to be preached to. Amen. I needed to be preached at, preached to, preached on, preached over, preached under. I just needed some preaching. Amen. And if you were here, we got it. Amen. There's no doubt about that. We got preaching. You know what? I hope you all go home and do what me and my wife done this past week with my messages. I hope you do, man. We talked about that preaching all the way to the house. Talked about it when we got home. Talked about it when we got up the next day. I know some of you do that. You know how I know that? Because some of you text me or call me and say, preacher, I've been thinking about what you preached this past Sunday. Tickles me to death. But notice what happened. God got angry for what Aaron and Miriam had done. And so God leaves, and in the process of leaving, the Bible said that in verse 10, that he struck Miriam with leprosy. Now you know leprosy is a disease that'll kill you. I mean, there it was sure going to kill her if something didn't happen to her. I mean, God was trying his best. I believe he was angry with her. And I believe if Moses didn't intervene right here, I believe God would have let Miriam die. But look in verse 11. And Aaron said unto Moses, "Alas, my Lord, I beseech thee, lay not the sin upon us, wherein we have done foolishly and wherein we have sinned." You remember what they said a few minutes ago? Hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? I believe Aaron figured out real quick that he didn't have the power that he thought he had, because you know what? He didn't ask God. He didn't ask God to heal Miriam. He turned to Moses and said, "You're going to have to plead on her behalf." And notice what he did. He took credit for the sin also. "Lay not the sin upon us." See that right there? Notice she's the one bearing out the sin. And I'm going to tell you something right here. One preacher I heard say one time, if Aaron didn't get away from Miriam, he was going to have the same problem she had, because leprosy is contagious. And you find right here that he does pray to God. God touches her, but makes her sit outside the camp for 7 days for a time of purification. They had to separate from her. You know something, when somebody is running their mouth or heading in the wrong direction against the pastor, against the church member, or against the church, you better separate yourself from them. And we're going to see that in another chapter here in a minute. They had to separate from her. And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, "Heal her now, O God, I beseech thee." And the Lord said unto Moses, "If her father had but spit in her face, should she not be ashamed 7 days? Let her be shut out of the camp 7 days, and let her be received in again." He said, you put her out, just like her, if her daddy spit in her face, said, you put her out and let her bear the shame for what she's done and what she said and what she's thought. Some people never think about that. See, I'm preaching to you from the thought and the idea tonight. As long as I'm doing my job. I understand if I'm not doing my job, and I'm not lining up with this book, and I'm not doing what's right in this book, then somebody needs to do something. If I'm in sin, and you know I'm in sin, somebody needs to do something. Amen. But if I'm doing my job and I'm trying to live holy and righteous and doing what I'm supposed to be doing, then leave me alone and let me do it. Pray for me. Don't lift yourself up to the and say, "I think we ought to do this or do that," or "I think the church ought to be run this way." I'm just going to be honest with you now. I know you can help me, and I know there's a lot of good plans out there. And listen, if it's something that we need to do, then man, by all means, if as Brother Ralph said, if you'll do it right, I'll let you do it. Amen. And we'll get behind you in it. But I still believe that the Lord uses me to guide this church. I do. But then take your Bible and go to Numbers chapter 16. What's happened in the process? Now, I want you to remember what's just happened. Now, everybody knows what's happened. Miriam has spent 7 days. The camp has quit traveling because Miriam has had to spend 7 days outside of the camp. They stopped where they were. Whoa. Didn't go nowhere. So everybody kind of has an idea, or some people knows what's going on and taking place. Now you need to remember that. And so in chapters 13, or in chapters, in 14, in chapters 13 and 14, they go over and spy out the promised land, but they would not go in. And so God tells them that, you're going to spend 40 years in the wilderness, and your carcasses is going to die over here, and these little ones, they'll get to go in. In chapter 15, he gives some law. But in chapter 16, we find the story of Korah and his men. Begin to read with me in verse 1. Now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan, and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On, and the son of Peleth, sons of Reuben, took men. And they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. Now notice what's taking place right here. Notice that they have rose up and they have gathered themselves against Moses and against Aaron. And said unto them, you take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord. And when Moses heard it, he fell upon his face. And he spake unto Korah and all the company, saying, even tomorrow the Lord will show who are his and who is holy, and will cause him to come near unto him. Even him whom he is, whom he hath chosen, will he cause to come near unto him. This do, take you censers, Korah, and all his company, and put fire therein, and put incense in them before the Lord tomorrow. And it shall be that the man whom the Lord doth choose, he shall be holy. Ye take too much upon you, ye sons of Levi. And Moses said unto Korah, hear, I pray you, sons of Levi, seemeth it but a small thing unto you, that the God of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself to do service of the tabernacle of the Lord and to stand before the congregation to minister to him. Now, notice right here that these are Levites. Levites had a position in the tabernacle. They're the ones that took care of everything in the tabernacle. You follow what I'm saying? They had a position in there. You can go back and you can read the Old Testament law, how God laid out for the Levites what they did. I believe it was the Levites that carried the ark. It was the Levites that carried the tabernacle when it moved. I mean, they just packed it all up. They carried it. They served in the tabernacle during the time of the sacrifice and all that. They still all had a job. And Moses asked them, he said, does it seem like a small thing to you that God gave you that job? And he hath brought thee, verse 10, near to him, and all the brethren, the sons of Levi, with thee, and seek ye the priesthood also. He said, look, he's gave you this position. He said, do you want to be the priest also? I think sometimes, I don't know what people think all the time. But I'm going to be honest with you. I wouldn't want to be in this position unless God put me here. And I don't understand why people want to try to get in a position that they don't belong in. Especially in spiritual matters, in spiritual things. I don't think you're against me tonight. I don't. I really don't think you're against me. And I know I'm not against you. But I don't want you to get against me. Verse 11. For which cause both thou and thy company are gathered together against the Lord, and what is Aaron that you murmur against him? He said, you've gathered against me, you've gathered against the Lord, you've gathered against Aaron. And Moses sent to call Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, which said, we will not come. Moses is talking to Korah, and Abiram and Dathan, they got in the mess also. And Moses said, I want you to come up here and talk to me. And they said, we ain't coming. Verse 13. Now watch how they blame Moses. Is it a small thing that thou hast brought us up out of the land that floweth with milk and honey to kill us in the wilderness, except thou make thyself altogether a prince over? I don't understand their thinking. He brought them out of Egypt because they was in bondage. They've already had the opportunity to go into Canaan and they wouldn't go. Right? They refused to go. They would not go. And he said, it's a small thing that thou, Brother Father, thy land flows with milk and honey to kill us in the wilderness, except thou make thyself altogether a prince over us. Moreover, thou hast not brought us into a land that flows with milk and honey, or given us inheritance of fields and vineyards, which thou put out the, wilt thou put out the eyes of these men. We will not come up. He said, look, Moses, you brought us out of Egypt, which flowed with milk and honey. Man, they were in bondage. They forgot, hadn't they? And they said, you've not brought us to a land that flows with milk and honey. Sure he did. You see their mentality right here? It's warped, ain't it? You know, when most people get against the pastor who's doing his job, their mentality's warped. It's warped. They're always looking for something that's wrong. They were not in the land that flowed with milk and honey. They wanted out of bondage. They cried. They sighed by reason of the bondage. They wanted out of that thing. God sent them a deliverer. They murmured against him all the way up into this time. He gets them over to the promised land. Joshua and Caleb said, all we got to do is go in. God will fight our battle. And they said, we can't go. And then they blamed Moses for it. Moses can't make them go. Moses couldn't force them to go. I told you this morning, as your pastor, I can't twist your ear. I'm not your daddy to make you go. I'm not your boss. A lot of pastors like to think that they are, that they're the general and everybody else is the private, and you're going to, hey, listen, I understand. That's not how it is. I get that. I understand that. If God can't do a work in your heart, I certainly can't do it. Amen? All I can do is stand up here and preach to you, pray for you, and plead with you. Well, I'd work. Preach, pray, and plead. I'll get that right. Amen. They said, you've not brought us to land that floweth with milk and honey, or given us inheritance of field and vineyards. They said, we ain't coming up. We ain't coming up. Now, what's verse 15? I love this verse right here. Moses had took all he could take. And Moses was very wroth and said unto the Lord, respect not their offering. I have not taken one ass from them, neither have I hurt one of them. And Moses said unto Korah, be thou and all thy company before the Lord, thou and they and Aaron tomorrow, and take every man his censer and put incense in them, and bring ye before the Lord every man his censer, 250 censers, thou also and Aaron, each of you his censer. He said, all right, tomorrow we're going to find out who God wants. So what have they done? They're blaming Moses for the situation they're in. They're saying that he's taken too much upon himself because they're all holy. That's their mentality. Their actions is that they've rose up against him. They've confronted him. And by the way, Moses has warned them. That's what I'm trying to do for all of us tonight. So notice right here in verse 18, and they took every man his censer and put fire in them and laid incense thereon and stood in the door of the tabernacle of the congregation with Moses and Aaron, and Korah gathered all the congregation against them. Now notice, have you noticed everything right here that when they're all together, they've rose up against Moses. And by the way, he's got 250 men over here. He's had some kind of meeting, hadn't he? And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. And here the Bible said in verse 19 that they're against them under the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the congregation. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, separate yourselves from among this congregation that I may consume them in a moment. God was fixing to wipe them all out. He's fixing to take them off. How do you know that? Because verse 22, and they fell upon their faces and said, O God, the God of the spirits of all flesh, shall one man sin and wilt thou be wroth with all the congregation? You're going to tell me that Moses and Aaron didn't care for the people of God, that he didn't care for them people that he was out there trying to get to the promised land and lead them where they need to be? Listen, he fell on his face and begged God and said, are you going to punish all of them for one man's sin? If Moses was really angry and really upset, all he had to do was just stand back and let God take care of the rest of it. Don't tell me Moses didn't care. Don't tell me he didn't love them. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the congregation, saying, get you up, verse 24, from about the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan and Abiram. And Moses rose up and went unto Dathan. Here, you got to separate yourself. You see it again, you got to separate yourself. You know what? You know what they had to do with Miriam? Had to separate theirself from Miriam. You know what they had to do right here? They had to separate theirself. But see, here it's done too late. You know, sometimes it gets to be too late to separate yourself from some people. You're done too far into it at this point. But they separate themselves. And he spake unto the congregation, saying, depart, I pray you, from the tents of these wicked men, and touch nothing of theirs, lest you be consumed in all their sins. Get away from it. Now, I want you to pay very particular attention to verse 27. Because when I studied this, it just jumped off the page at me. So they got up from the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan and Abiram on every side. And Dathan and Abiram came out and stood in the door of their tents, and their wives and their sons and their little children. I've got that underlined in my Bible. And I got it underlined for a reason. I'm going to keep on reading, but you're going to see. And Moses said, hereby ye shall know that the Lord hath sent me to do these works, all these works, for I have not done them of my own mind. If these men die the common death of all men, or if they be visited after the visitation of all men, then the Lord hath not sent me. But if the Lord make a new thing, and the earth open up her mouth, and swallow them up with all that appertain unto them, and they go down quick into the pit, then ye shall understand that these men have provoked the Lord. And it came to pass as he made an end of speaking all these words that the ground clave asunder that was under them, and the earth opened up her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses, and all the men that appertained unto Korah, and all their goods. Moses said, if they die the regular death of men, then God ain't, this ain't a God. But if God opens the earth up and sucks them down and swallows them up, then you'll know that this thing's of God. And as soon as Moses said that, the earth opened up and sucked them down. But did you see what it costed? Go back to verse 27. What was there? Korah was there in verse 27. Look, Dathan and Abiram came out and stood in the door of their tents, and their wives and their sons and their little children. You know, a lot of times, a lot of people don't realize the cost of getting against the preacher sometimes. I'm watching that happen right now in a family, not in our church, but somewhere else. And I'm trying to warn as gently as I can and not be ugly. And I've probably been ugly a time or two with this person. But you know what this family has done? They have basically turned almost turned their children cynical toward church, toward the preacher, and toward things of church. I've sat and I've watched it happen. You all think I'm kidding. But when you go home and you eat the preacher for lunch every Sunday, I hope that don't happen here. I don't think it does. I hope it don't. You all keep coming back. Amen. I've got a preacher friend right now. Before he was pastoring, and he told me this more than once, him and his family, they all went to a church with his mom and stepdad. And then when they would leave church, they would go over to his mom and stepdad's place, and they would have supper dinner every Sunday afternoon. And he said every time that we'd go over there, they would just wire the preacher out at the dinner table. And he said, this boy was just preaching the book. And he said, my children was sitting there listening to this. You know what he done? He separated himself from his mother and his stepdad. Now you talk about causing problems. That caused problems. But he separated himself from them. He said, you know why? I didn't want my children to listen to that mess. I'm not telling you got to sing my praises. Just don't be killing me at the dinner table. If you want to sing my praises, you go ahead. But the Bible said, let another man praise thee and not thyself. So what happens? The ground opens up and swallows them up. Verse 34. And all Israel, and I mean man, and all Israel that were round about them fled at the cry of them, for they said, lest the earth swallow us up also. They'd seen what happened. These 250 men, they've seen what happened, but see, it's done too late. Verse 35. And there came a fire out from the Lord and consumed the 250 men that offered incense. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, that he take up the censers out of the burning and scatter the fire out yonder, for they are hallowed. So what's happened? God's opened up the ground, swallowed them up. God sent a fire down from heaven to take out the other 250 men because they stood against Moses. But look at verse 41. I mean, this is nuts, man. This is crazy. Look at verse 41. I know what time it is. I'm about to close. But on tomorrow, all the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, saying, ye have killed the people of the Lord. They still ain't got it. He stood out there and Moses said, look, if the earth opens up and swallows them up, you'll know these things of God. I sure can't make the earth open up. And boy, God had took all he was going to take right here. God was mad at this point. You want me to tell you why some churches ain't going to make it and why some churches are failing? Because they've just stood against the man of God when he was doing right. You can't do that and get by. I mean, God, you just can't do that. And God had had enough. And look in verse 44, and the Lord spake unto Moses, say, get you up from among the congregation that I may consume them as in a moment. And they fell upon their face. Man, here they are again. God's going to kill them all, and Moses is on his face again. And Moses said unto Aaron, take a censer and put fire therein from off the altar and put on incense and go quickly into the congregation and make an atonement for them. For there is wrath gone out from the Lord. The plague is begun. God's already started killing. And Aaron took, as Moses commanded, and ran. I've underlined that in my Bible. He ran. He's got a censer in his hand. He's running as fast as he can out into the congregation of Israel. And he ran into the midst of the congregation, and behold, the plague was begun among the people. And he put on incense and made an atonement for the people. And he stood between the dead and the living. And the plague was stayed. Yeah, I can see Aaron with that censer in his hand. I can see him in his robe. I can see him. And man, he's standing out there and he's got that censer in his hand and he's burning incense. I can just picture it in my mind as the plague had started to sweep through the children of Israel. God was going to wipe them out. And here stands Aaron because Moses sent him out there and he ran to do his job. He ran as fast as he could to save as many as he could. I'm going to tell you, a pastor that cares about his people will run as fast as he can to save as many as he can. Is it in the book of Ezekiel? You know, David, in the book of 1 Samuel, fought the bear and the lion. Well, you're talking about a good shepherd. He fought the bear and the lion, didn't he? Good shepherd will fight the bear and the lion. But is it in Ezekiel where he talks about where the shepherd went out there and picked up an ear and all these pieces of that lamb? That the lion had tore to pieces. And you know what the shepherd was out there doing? He was picking up pieces of that lamb. A good shepherd will try to keep you from getting in that mess. But even if the lion gets you, he'll come by and try to help you pick up the pieces and put it all back together. That's something I've had to learn. So he runs out there now, verse 49. The plague was stayed in verse 48. Now they that died in the plague were 14,700 besides them that died about the matter of Korah. And Aaron returned unto Moses unto the door of the tabernacle congregation, and the plague was stayed. You know why all that happened? Because they rose up against Moses. Do you see all the death and the despair and everything? Man, do you see everything Moses had to deal with and Aaron had to deal with? All because they got against him. And all he was trying to do was get them into the promised land. All I'm asking you tonight, I don't think you are, I hope you're not, is don't get against me. That's all I'm asking you to do tonight. As a matter of fact, be for me. Just be for me. Be for me and pray for me. Ask God, help our preacher. I remember what Bud used to come. I remember Brother Bud, when I first come down here, he'd call me that sawed-off preacher. And I could almost look him eyeball to eyeball. He said, "Preacher, you're a little taller than what I remember you being." I'm not Moses, okay? But I am the pastor of this church. Please don't get against me. I'm begging. It makes my job hard if you're against me. It makes my job worrisome if you get against me. It does. It makes my job worrisome. Let's bow our heads then.